road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska, I go north, the rush is on.
And today on the Travel Guys, Mark.
In the travel news, a survey says traveler safety concerns are dropping as vaccination numbers go up. And the week's big question is whether or not the Alaska cruise season for this summer is canceled by Canada's cruise ship ban for the year. It's complicated and involves an old law. Details next in the news.
At 3:20, our Smarter Traveler segment topic is vaccines and travel. This past week, three cruise lines denounced their policies. We have an update for you.
After the news at the bottom of the hour, tour professional Clayton Whitehead joins us for a roundtable discussion on when and how travel returns to something resembling what it was before COVID.
And Mark focuses on something of personal importance, my friends, that has changed dramatically, and not for the better, since last March. You'll hear about it.
Thanks for giving us a listen before today's big game. Here to make you a smarter traveler when we travel, we are the Travel Guys.
Yeah, good to see you, Mark. How you doing, my friend? I know where things were. Cameron, I thank you for being with us again this week. We'll talk later. At the beginning of the program, I want to start off by finding out with what's new with Mark Hoffman. I think there's something new in his life.
I drove all the way to the Grass Valley last week on a car. Yeah.
Holy cow. Did you get out?
Once when I got there, and then I drove home. I mean, it was it was almost 150 miles round trip.
Oh my gosh.
It's pretty exciting. Actually, it was kind of cool because an old buddy of mine, sports editor of the Sacramento Union, who's no longer, and the Bee at one point, who's no longer with us, Bill Conlon. Bill was born up in that area, Smartsville, rough and ready area up there. So right. I'm going to have to go back up there and go exploring one of these days, I think.
All right. Anything else?
I got a hole put in my arm this morning.
On a Sunday, you got a vaccine.
I got a notice yesterday, and they said, hey, we have some openings, and I don't know what got me in there, transportation or age or whatever, but anyway, I hustled down and got a shot this morning. If you are fortunate enough to get to with UC Davis, they have a clinic there adjoining the hospital property that's doing about 1,200 people a day. And my goodness, what an efficient my appointment was 10:20. I got there at 10 o'clock they wanted me to stay 30 minutes just to be observed. But if that hadn't been the case, I'd have been out of there at 10:30. Really nice people, really efficient. And fill out do as much as you can ahead of time. And it was really simple. Already have an appointment for a second shot. So I'm pretty happy camper. Means I'll be able to get out on the road here pretty soon.
Well, there you go. Now, I've been asked this more than once, and I will ask you, once you've had both vaccines, is that going to change anything in regards to how you deal with things? Are you still going to be social distance? You still going to wear your mask? What are your thoughts?
I'm going to play by the rules until I'm going to, what's the one TV station has the thing, follow the Fauci? He's not God, but I do put a lot of trust in his and people related to his wisdom. So, once you get the vaccine, we don't have that information yet of whether people who have the vaccine can still carry the virus and give it to other people, but that seems to be at least possible. So I think until we get to that 70-80% and this all gets down to where there's 8 cases reported in a week, then the smart ones among us are going to wear masks because you know what? The end is in sight, man. The light at the end of the tunnel is getting brighter and it's not a train. So exactly. I really do think if we stick with it for a little while longer here, I have numbers and statistics that we see that are kind of forward-looking, and for the last 3 weeks now, they've shown that the virus levels have continued to drop in California. In fact, the transmission is as low now as it has been since last March or April. And what that means is not that it went away. It means that people are, you know, staying away from each other and wearing a mask and doing the little things, washing their hands and stuff. There's almost no flu virus. Regular flu virus is completely non-existent because people are doing all those things. So we're I think we're doing pretty good, actually, after we've killed 500,000 people.
Yeah, there you go. Well, for those of you that are listening that are on the road, maybe you're on your way over to family or friends for a little Super Bowl party, okay? Mm-hmm. Behave yourself. Watch the game outdoors. Wear your mask. Stay distanced. Don't let all that talk about how we are going to have a super spreader Super Bowl Sunday come to pass, okay? You guys be good. All right, let's do what we do at the top of every Travel Guys radio show. Cameron, if you're ready, play that news music. Mark, you got some travel news for me, buddy? Oh, there you go. Now I feel better. Life is good again. Huey Lewis in the news, as Mark does the travel news.
All right, here we go. A couple of headlines here. Been a while since I've seen these. First one says, younger generations are desperate to travel. I can believe that because it was the millennial group that really kind of changed the face of travel by coming up about 15, 20 years ago and saying, hey, you know, if travel isn't experiential, why we're not as interested? And that really caused everybody across the whole spectrum to step up their travel game. It changed what travel was about for the better. The generation behind them has been just the same. So I'm not surprised that they are eager to travel because they have traveled at a younger age than any generations before them. So logically, that would be something that they would miss. The headline right behind that, same day, same news service, says study finds traveler safety concerns will diminish by summer. So this says that 77% of people are less concerned about travel and the safety of travel the second half of 2021, which was defined as late June to December compared to last year. So apparently people are just as eager to get out on the road and travel a little bit as they are to go further than the corner grocery store. The government of Canada announced last week, this kind of caught people a little bit by surprise, a one-year ban for pleasure craft and cruise vessels to be docking in Canadian waters. So the pleasure craft thing applies to people who are on perhaps the Great Lakes or who are on one of the coastal border cities where you would take a yacht and go up the coast or something like that. Canada is saying if you've got more than 12 people, you cannot go up to the Arctic coastal waters or the Labrador coast on the eastern side of the country. Also, what this means is really significant for the Alaska cruise season. And we need to get an expert on and talk about this, although I'm afraid it would just confuse the heck out of people even more so than what I'm about to tell you will confuse you. But there's an old thing called the Jones Act, which requires cruises leaving the United States to stop in a foreign port. And that means that a cruise that goes up to Alaska that leaves from Seattle has to stop somewhere in Canada before it either finishes its voyage in Alaska or comes back to Seattle. Traditionally, those cruises had made a stop in Victoria or Vancouver or done what they call a service call, which is where this is what the cruises to Mexico do in Ensenada, where they're not stopping in any Mexico ports, but they'll stop for an hour. The captain gets off the ship, hands some paperwork to the dock people. They say, yeah, your ship came here, it docked here, and that meets the provisions of this old piece of legislation called the Jones Act, which we can talk about on a future show. But nonetheless, ships have to dock someplace besides the United States. So when this announcement came last week from the Canadian government that ships couldn't dock in Canada, all of the cruise lines that want to go to Alaska this year just about had a cardiac. So it remains to be seen whether there will be an exception, which was done once before, to this law called the Jones Act, which keeps ships from sailing nonstop between all U.S. ports of call on an ocean-going trip. So if you are planning to go to Alaska this summer, your trip shows a service call or a stop in Canada, your voyage is on hold for right now. Give the cruise lines a week or two to work on this and see if they can't, again, get some kind of exception. People are not going to go ashore in Canadian ports, but just so that they can stop and do that service call. Does that make any sense, Tom?
Yeah, it does. It brings up a question, and like you say, maybe this is something we can discuss at a later date, and that is, what was the Jones Act for? What was the purpose of leaving Seattle and then having to stop in Canada somewhere before you could move on to Alaska? There must be, you know, what was the
evidence for
this?
They are labor-related reasons, and I'm not sure that I understand them completely, and I've been in this business for 40 years, and it's not the first time I've run into the Jones Act. However, okay. I promise mm-hmm. that we're going to get somebody who can either come on and explain it in plain language or explain it to me so I can explain it in plain language down the road. The other hope is, too, that Congress will just make an exception, and then we won't have to be talking about it any longer, but we'll see.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, you know, that I'll have to park my yacht.
Uh-huh. That's what I was going to tell you. That's the bottom line bad news is, as far as you can take your yacht this summer is the Canadian border.
There you go. Okay.
Southwest has come out best in a ranking for which airlines were the best for 2020. This is from the Wall Street Journal. I think this is kind of interesting because last year was a really different year for airlines. Remember all the hassle over, we've canceled your flight, you can't have a refund, wait a minute, you're legally you're due a refund, but we're not going to give you one anyway, all of that kind of thing. So whoever came out on top last year, that kind of shows, and I'm not surprised, that it's Southwest. Simpler system, allowed them to provide easier for them to provide good customer service. Double masking is something that's being talked about all over the place as we get these new variants of the virus coming from other countries that might be more easily transmissible. There is some talk now that people should be using double masking. This comes from an article in Travelers United this week. So think about it. If you have a mask, if it's a medical mask, or if it has three layers in it, then don't worry about the second mask. But if you're wearing one mask, a one-layer mask or a two-layer mask, then it's time perhaps to consider something a little bigger. And here's another one from Travelers United, a headline that I was delighted to see. Time for the FTC to step up and stop hidden resort fees. Wouldn't that be nice? Windstar Cruises is redoing a whole bunch of their ships. They've been around for a while. Probably was overdue. TSA says mask violators are going to face up to $1,500 fines, and they have people assigned in airports to walk around and get people. And also Carnival Cruise Lines has announced some of the new rules that they will implement when cruising returns. We will talk with Clayton Whitehead about those and some other topics after the news at the bottom of the hour, and that is your travel news for today.
All right, my friends, and we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Again, you can find links to the stuff we talk about at travelguysradio.com. All right, we're going to have Mark's going to reveal some personal important information coming up next. It's his one man's opinion, something that you don't want to miss. And then we're going to talk in our Smarter Traveler segment, vaccines and travel. That's next here on The Traveler. Travel and Entertainment Guys is always brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, and from time to time, Mark finds a nice comfy spot and puts pen to paper. And then it turns into, ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mark Hoffman and just one man's opinion.
A lot of things have changed since the start of COVID late last winter. Getting a good meal while sitting in your favorite restaurant has been a challenge. Theaters, museums, ballparks, lots of things we haven't been able to enjoy. So you would think, people would have left well enough alone in these troubled times. But alas, that's not what has happened with one of our most prized and valued personal items, toilet paper. Seriously, have you noticed how it's gotten not only thinner, but smaller, and here's the big kicker, rougher? Nothing has been an indicator of the seriousness of the situation more than toilet paper. Remember a year ago when the shelves were wiped? Wait a minute, maybe a bad choice of words there. Cleared of every roll of toilet paper from the shelves. A black market using rolls of TP as currency had to be just around the corner. But those who make the stuff apparently recognized a profit opportunity, and within a few months, the toilet paper aisle was fully stocked just like before. Except it isn't like before. What have you done with our Charmin? And wouldn't Mr. Whipple, or whatever his name was, you know, the grocery guy who was always rubbing toilet paper on his face on TV years ago. Looking back, that was a little strange, a grown man rubbing toilet paper on himself on television. Anyway, I digress. Life is so different. I long for the days when the toilet paper label bragged because you were really getting 24 rolls when it looked like six, because it was double or triple ply, a foot wide, and soft as a baby's behind. Years ago, a Sacramento Union newspaper columnist took up a cause when our new airport opened with pay toilets. FLUSH, Kurt McBride called it. Free latrines unlimited for suffering humanity. Get it? Flush. A worthy cause. Should I mention the pay toilets disappeared at the airport, never to return? The power of the press. I have no such dreams of power here. Someday you'll tell your grandchildren how toilet paper used to be, and they'll look at you and wonder. How does this all relate to travel, you say? Marginally. I'm just peeved about the loss of quality wipes for the derriere. Thanks for listening, because as you know by now, that is just one man's opinion.
Amen. Amen, brother. I'll tell you, Mark, a lot of people that just heard that are going to high-five in their radio. Okay, we are the travel guys, and as promised, let's talk vaccines and travel.
Yeah.
The past week, we had three cruise lines announce their policies. Mark, give us an update.
Well, these are all river cruise lines, so the big ones haven't announced yet. At least one of them, NCL, is apparently looking at the possibility of requiring passengers to be vaccinated. My guess is one of the reasons they haven't announced the policy yet is because they're waiting for somebody else to do it. They don't want to be first and get it wrong, so they're kind of waiting. In my office, we've had a few calls from people asking. I haven't talked to anybody yet who said, you know, I'm only traveling if everybody is vaccinated, or I'm not getting vaccinated in order to travel. So I haven't seen anybody on either end yet, but at least some small cruise lines, American steamboats that do the river cruises in the United States, are going to require starting July the 1st that everyone be vaccinated, and they're going to, they're going to vaccinate their crew. So I think those two things, Tom, in combination, are going to make it just a tad safer for people who want to be out. You know, a couple of other things that are going to make a difference here too. Last week it was announced that the United States had cut a $230 million deal to provide 15-minute COVID tests at home. We've talked about this. I remember last October saying I thought this would be around in a month or two. Missed that one by a few months. But now they're apparently going to be here soon. And the importance of that is that you're going on a trip for 3 or 4 days, or you want to go to the symphony or to a baseball game, and so you buy the test and you take it at home, and you don't have to do it 3 days beforehand because you don't have to wait for the results. They're going to show on your smartphone in 15 or 20 minutes, and so you're going to take this test the night before, and it's going to show you're fine, and your phone's going to show that you're fine and in. You're into the event, you're on the plane, you're whatever it is that you wanted to do. So I think that the combination of the vaccine and the at-home test, which may be relevant for some people who don't want to get the vaccine but want to be able to prove that they are reasonably free of the virus themselves.
All right. Well, you know, I'm totally good with carrying a card that says that I've been vaccinated. If I need any testing, I'll do that. And I kind of think that's where it's going to end up, you know. Sooner or later, it's going to be positive for getting the vaccine.
Well, and some people have said, well, if this virus doesn't go away, you know, will we have to be vaccinated every year? And I don't think anybody knows the answer to that yet, but it's possible that you might have to have some kind of booster shot.
I would say it's probable.
we get a flu shot. Those of us who don't want to get the flu, go out and get a flu shot every year.
Right.
And so it's, you know, that doesn't, it's not something that I enjoy doing. My arm usually hurts for a day or so. Interestingly enough, I got this shot about 5 hours ago, and I don't feel anything in my arm. Oh, wait a minute, my arm fell off. No, I'm just kidding. but anyhow, as more cruise lines, I think the cruise lines, Tom, are the place where, and Clayton is going to join us after the bottom of the hour, and I'm sure he'll have some thoughts on this because he's a big fan of the riverboats. I'm not a huge fan of ocean-going cruises personally, but I know we have a lot of people who listen to this program who enjoy cruising. And I would think that being kind of a closed environment, especially when you're out on the ocean for several days at a time, that it becomes even more important there that you don't have a bug floating around the ship on a riverboat. You know, you can dock in a U.S. city and take people who might be ill off the boat or do whatever it is that you might need to do to fix things or at least make them a little better, whereas an ocean-going cruise seems like. And Carnival has announced a whole bunch of things, and significantly enough, one of the important things they've said is you're going to wear a mask, and here's where you're going to wear it, and none of the neck gaiters or bandanas or anything like that. It's going to be a legitimate mask, and that's the way it's going to work. So,
all right, more to come after the news here on the Travel Guys.
Life at home, AAA, outsmart life.
Capitol Hill hope they can fast track President Biden's coronavirus relief package this week. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says she thinks $75,000 a year incomes were a little too high for direct payments.
The exact details of how it should be targeted are to be determined, but struggling middle-class families need help, too.
Yellen on CNN, the second impeachment trial of President Trump will not prevent other Senate work, says Senator Chris Murphy, Connecticut Democrat.
We'll start off on Monday by confirming another cabinet nominee by the president. We will likely hold hearings in committees next week to move other nominees forward.
Murphy on Fox News Sunday. After serving several presidents and several top cabinet jobs, George Shultz is dead at 100. His biographer, Phil Taubman.
His critical role in winding down the Cold War as Reagan's partner in that effort, that was his greatest achievement.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Now, here's what's happening around the state on Sacramento's News, 93.1 KFBK.
Mark and Tom, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for stopping in, enjoying a beautiful Sunday afternoon. It makes you want to get outside,
yeah,
and soak up some rays.
It does. It does. Who do you like in the ball game? Hey, who you like in the ball game?
I a lot of people aren't going to want to hear this because for some reason everybody's got it against Tom Brady because he's so friggin' good, I guess. I don't know what the reasoning is, but I'd like the Buccaneers.
Yeah, well,
I like the old guy. I like the guy that's playing as closest to my age.
I've got family in Kansas City who really have their hearts on back-to-back championships. Don't discount the fact that the Kansas City assistant, the coach's son, got in an accident and all of that might be just enough to shake things up a little bit. I wouldn't bet money on the Kansas City team after that. I'm like you, though. I'm rooting for the old guy. So I hope he deflates the footballs or the Gatorade or whatever and that it all works out happily ever after. And I'll be watching it here in just a few minutes. Joining us here in just a moment is Clayton Whitehead. I want to give you a couple of quick things. We said this week we were going to have someone on from San Francisco to talk about a new attraction down there. It's called Step Inside Van Gogh. No such success yet, but we're still working on it. It's a really cool, even if you're not a Van Gogh fan per se, this might be something that you might enjoy. That the weekend tickets sold out so quickly, they expanded it for all the way through September. So anyway, we'll talk a little bit about it. If I don't find someone to talk to us about it, then I'll bone up on it, and we'll talk about it next week. It's cultural arts for people who are not into cultural arts. That's why it kind of got me interested. Mm-hmm. I thought it was you know, fairly interesting. Okay, there's another cool thing. This is on the Travel Guy's website. The McCollum Theater in Palm Springs. If you're a mature traveler, you might enjoy a free 45-minute concert. These folks bring some great entertainment to Palm Springs, and we attend their shows on occasion. Ten Tenors, Vanessa Williams, the cast of Jersey Boys all do a little performance. It is free. Did I mention it's free to watch free. Online? If you go to TravelGuysRadio.com and click on the Palm, the link that says about the Palm Springs show at the McCollum Theater. Did I mention it was free? It's free.
Free.
Yeah, it's free entertainment. So, you know, you might as well. And I thought it was pretty darn good. I've never heard the Ten Tenors before, so I didn't know how good they were, but they're pretty good. So, anyways, those are my two little things there. Did I mention it was free?
Oh, yeah, free.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah, it's free.
All right.
Is it Mr. free? Whitehead, Clayton Whitehead, joins us here on the Travel Guys.
Hi, Mark and Tom. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, Clayton. How are you?
All is well. It's a beautiful sunny day. I've been out working in a friend's yard all day, so I'm filthy but happy. Kind of like a pig in the mud.
Nothing wrong with that.
Let me just move a little further away here. Clayton, we've talked a little bit about this, and the topic du jour in travel right now, as I'm sure has been around you, is when does travel start again? Because now that the infections have started to fall down, people are starting to think, well, you know, we might get back on the road soon. And then will you have to be vaccinated? Will you have to be tested? Is Hawaii going to be the model for everything? What do you think?
What do I think? Boy, this is a complicated topic to come to come out of the mud hole into this.
Yeah, right into this.
I think it's very unfortunate that my health and the health of my countrymen, and indeed the health of those of the people of this world, has become such an extraordinarily political issue. That having been said, people I respect in the scientific and medical communities have said repeatedly, get the shot. It's good for you and it's good for your neighbor. And I don't know, I'm an old-fashioned guy who goes to church and I believe in the golden rule, and I don't have any problem with it. So I say, get a shot. Granted, they're not very easy to get. Almost everybody I talk to who's gotten a shot now, almost, though the numbers are slightly beginning to change, but almost everybody I know who's gotten a shot has gotten it through the back door. You know, they were in the right place at the right time, or somebody said, hey, go over here, or, you know, they went to pick up a prescription, and somebody shouted across the counter, hey, we've got some vaccines that have thawed. Do you want one? And, I mean, all that's great, but how about all of us who are trying to get it through the front door, who dutifully went to our state or our county or our city sites and registered, and we're waiting and waiting and waiting? I don't know. That's frustrating. But still, when my name comes up, mm-hmm. hopefully in this decade, I'm going to go get it.
So do you think that a vaccine should be, I mean, is that part of a passport to travel with a group of people on, I mean, whether you're traveling on a tour with a tour group or you're just getting on an airplane or a cruise ship with a lot of other people?
I think it is a fair expectation. I think it's a very fair expectation. But what I'm seeing now from the handful of people I know, including yourself, Mr. Mark, who have gotten a shot or shots, is that you got a little card. And it's got your name written on it or mm-hmm. something. And I don't mean to sound like the bad guy or, you know, the doubtful guy here, but a little card with your name written on it, that seems really easy to counterfeit to me. So I think they're going to have to step up their game and give us something a little bit better than a piece of paper with some writing on it. I mean, what if you fell in the pool and it got wet? You know, and the writing washed off? I don't know. I just think that maybe this ought to be something that is indeed coded into our passport or into our driver's license. That's why the magnetic strip is there. That's why the QR codes are there. That's why, I mean, we have all this technology, I would think, to support our identity and our visual appearance as it connects to our identity. Why can't this be added on in this incredible world of technology that we live in now?
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. Mr. Romano, do you have a comment here?
Well, you know, that's a great observation on Clayton's part, that it is just a card, and when they give it to you, stapled to another piece of paper that tells you all the side effects that you could possibly have, and they tell you, don't lose this, because if you don't come back with this, we can't give you your second vaccine. And but, you know, Clayton, the expediency of how things are going, I have a feeling that once everybody gets both stamps on their little card, that sometime shortly thereafter, there will be something that is a little bit more permanent, a lot safer, something that you that tracks you either so that when you go to the airport or wherever, you can easily bring that up. And like you say, you won't end up losing it in the wash or something along the way. Yeah.
You know, and I don't want to beat up any politicians because I generally like those who are serving us right now. I'll go ahead and put that out there. But gosh, we've had 10 months to figure this part out. And it seems kind of crazy to me that the vaccines finally are coming, you know, into mass circulation. But it appears that the distribution channels weren't really figured out. And now I'm worried about this little card that might, you know, get wet when you fall in the pool. So maybe somebody in a higher pay scale than me is indeed out there trying to figure all this out.
All right. We're going to take a break here and then we're going to come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Clayton about Carnival Cruise Lines has announced. They're the first major cruise line to announce what cruising might look like when they get back in the water, which they're hoping is sometime in the middle of the summer. They, of course, they started with October, but like many of us, they've had to push that back a little bit. But now they're getting optimistic that they can do this. We'll talk about what will it take to get cruise ships running, which I think probably are the first people in the blockchain to getting everything else going when we come back right here on the Travel Guys.
Tom Romano along with Clayton Whitehead. Today we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Don't forget now all the things we talk about at travelguysradio.com, and sometimes free stuff can be found there. There's a link to a great concert online. It's the Ten Tenors. Some of the names you'll know. And as Mark pointed out a number of times, by golly, it's free. Free Ten Tenors. You'll love it. Check it out. TravelGuysRadio.com.
10 for the price of none. Carnival Cruise Lines says, here are the new rules Carnival will implement when cruising returns. Give me a minute here, and I'll set a little bit of this up, and then you guys can comment on it. Every guest 2 years of age or older will be required to provide a test. Negative test taken 5 days to 24 hours prior to the date of embarkation. Cost of that testing is borne by the traveler. Any further testing performed in the terminal or on board the ship by Carnival will be considered included in the cruise fare. Doesn't say that there will be further testing, just says if they do it, you don't have to pay for it. You have to fill out a health questionnaire, all pretty much same temperature taking. Only booked guests will be permitted to enter the terminal and boarding area. So if your family's flying with you to Florida to see you off on the cruise, why, they won't be able to go inside with you. That's usually not a problem for those of us coming great distances, but if you were going to San Francisco or something like that to catch a ship, you would want to be careful. Daily temperature checks. Everybody over the age of 2 is required to wear a mask when indoors, except when inside their own stateroom, while eating and drinking seated at a table, or using cardio equipment in the gym. So indoors, outdoors, everywhere, except for those exceptions, you would wear a mask on a Carnival ship. Guests will also have to wear a mask outdoors when physically distancing cannot be maintained. So apparently, if you can stay 5-6 feet away from each other, you can ditch the mask. Should have two or more layers and be worn over the nose and mouth. Gaiters and bandanas are not allowed. Face shields are permitted only when used with a mask. Then it goes on to talk about hand sanitizers and how they're going to limit physical distancing at the pools and casinos and restaurants. And that's going to be a little bit of a challenge, I think, the restaurant, while people are waiting to get into restaurants. So it talks about it being appropriately distanced in theaters and other venues and ports of call. And then it goes on, and there's about 3 paragraphs here that says, if you don't follow the rules, we put you off the ship. And the way you get home, you are on your own. From that moment forth, we'll put your bags on the shore, and good luck to you. So, and they're going to limit shore excursions to things you buy from them so that they have some control over the hygiene things and the amount of profit that they make. I'm sorry, did I say that? So anyway, that's what we're looking at. So, Mr. Whitehead, does that encourage, discourage? Does that make you feel better about getting on a cruise ship? Do you say, yeah, wait till all of that's over, even though that might be a year or two? What do you think?
Actually, it does encourage me. Like you, Mark, I'm not a huge ocean-going cruise person. I've done just two cruises in the last couple of years, big ocean cruises, after about a 10-year hiatus. So that gave me some objectivity in remembering how things were and seeing how things, well, how things were a year ago as opposed to how things were 11 years ago. And the cruise ships had already really upped their game when it came to, I would say, sanitation and just attentiveness towards the public spaces and especially their dining venues. Of course, there's been a lot of highly publicized bugs that have gone through mm-hmm. various cruise ships over the last number of years. So I noticed there was no more buffets. Even in the buffet, somebody was behind the counter who prepared your plate for you. So you could still choose what you wanted, how much you wanted, a little, a lot, whatever. But that someone else did it for you. At the, you know, the champagne reception that they end up having about every other night, the past canapes were placed in your hand one at a time by a server. It wasn't a free-for-all. There was no buffet line over on the side. Even in the bars, they put out just tiny little bowls of nuts or trail mix or whatever, and I thought, well, that's cheap. But no, then I saw the intent was everybody would have their own bowl, and there wasn't any sharing. So I think cruise lines are already... we're already quite a bit down this road that now we all need to be on in terms of keeping things safe and clean. So, you know, it's a closed society on a boat, and whereas, yeah, that means a bug can perhaps spread faster, it also means that maybe that bug can be eliminated and not spread at all a lot easier because it is a controlled environment. So I really respect what the cruise lines are trying to do. I mean, they, like all of us, are trying to get back to work and make some money. I respect that. The people who work on those boats, you know, from the Philippines and Mexico and wherever they're from, I mean, those are hard-earned dollars that they and their families desperately need, and those people need to get back to work. And I really respect that. So I say I'm all for it. You know, they want me to wear a mask. I would be offended if they didn't want me to wear a mask. And I'll be interested to see if they start requiring the vaccinations as they get a little further down the road and as more and more Americans have that opportunity.
Wow. And also, you know, you're going to be getting on cruise ships with people from other countries. I mean, no, you know, I mean, that's a fairly, or you may be going to the other country to get on board the ship. Tom, you're a pretty conservative traveler. You have family in San Antonio. You like to make the occasional jaunt to Las Vegas. You're a fan of Hawaii. I can't wait to get back there myself. So those are places of very, you know, Las Vegas, Hawaii, those are pretty high-risk places, potentially high-risk places. Texans haven't really behaved themselves all that well in terms of masking and stuff like that. So where are you on all of this?
I'm stuck at home is what I am. You know, first of all, just a comment about the cruise lines and such, and then I'll move on. I'm more concerned about the people that work on the cruise ships than I am the passengers. They make you take tests, going to make you have vaccines. But, you know, I want to know that the people that are running the ship and the people that are serving me and that maybe ducking in and out of my room, cleaning or whatever, has been vaccinated and tested. All right. Vegas, you know what? I don't know when I'm going to get back to Vegas. Vegas is a nasty place to begin with. It's a lot of fun, but part of the fun part about it is rubbing shoulders and being close and all that goes on. It's just an intense kind of place, and I don't feel I could have any fun there if you know, because here again, you don't know where people come from all over the world to Vegas as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at being able to feel comfortable with traveling and going most anywhere. When we finally get to, you look at the numbers as to how many people have been currently vaccinated in the United States, right, and how many people there really are. What do we have, 330 million?
Yeah, we're up to about 9% have gotten the first shot, and about 2.5% have gotten both.
When we get to about 60% or more, mm-hmm, then I'm going to start feeling safe to go to a lot of places, knowing that everybody has been vaccinated, or at least a large share. Still use my... In fact, you were talking about double masks. I've become a double masker in a lot of situations. So I'm getting comfortable with that, you know, and being able to breathe through two masks. I'm wearing about six layers, so you can see I'm pretty conservative there. But like I say, and in San Antonio, it's to the point now where a lot of times if I want to see my daughter, I don't go to Texas. I bring her to California. Yeah. And she comes well protected. She comes pre-tested. And even then, if you can imagine having family members in your house, everybody's still wearing a mask. So we'll see where it goes from there. But she's in an industry where I do believe that the vaccines will be forthcoming for her as well. So again, just making it that much more safe. We're on the road to recovery, my friends.
Yeah, well, and every day, you know, the place there at UCD is getting 1,200 people a day. So once they've gotten their second shot, and we're close to a month into this, that's 1,200 people a day that will graduate into being less likely to be spreaders of something. And what we've shown here over the last Christmas wasn't as bad as Thanksgiving. What we've shown is that we're capable of this. So really what we need to do is, for the sake of the hospital workers and all the people who need to get back to work, I would raise my hand there, and all of the people who just want to be able to travel and go places and do things, or go to the theater or go to a ball game or whatever. I mean, we kind of owe that all to everybody, I think.
I just wanted to add one more thing. I just double-checked my notes because I didn't want to speak incorrectly. I said earlier that I won't be surprised if the big ships, you know, the international brands, start requiring vaccines. I do want to point out that our homegrown cruise company, which is the American Queen Steamboat Company, who is a third cousin once removed from our beloved Delta King down on the Sacramento River, they are going to be requiring vaccination records for everyone that cruises on their paddle wheelers, and also their small boat cruise line, which is called Victory, I think.
Yep, we talked a little bit about that earlier, that they are the two of the first people to step up and say, well, and those are reasonably small ships, what, 250, 300 passengers?
Or even plus, smaller.
You know, plus some crew after that. So it's a smaller version of a cruise ship. And to Tom's well-taken point, and to yours too, if you can become a closed community and make sure, why, then you're in good shape.
Well, Mark, I can't wait to hit the river again, that's for sure. I've got a tentative cruise planned later. I don't know when it is. This year, next year, but in the foreseeable future, and I want to get back on the river. I miss the Mississippi.
Yeah, I hear that. All right, Thomas.
Yeah, Mark, I wanted to just real quickly, give me 30 seconds.
Okay.
Your travelers, what are they saying? The people that travel with sports.
Well, they're not ready to travel yet on things that go across the country. They're willing to go short distances, regional trips. And so it's I think that it's a progressive thing. You and Clayton have described it perfectly. People are going to be willing to go short distances. And as time goes by and more people are vaccinated and we can see that there's not a reaction and stuff, I think people will be willing to go greater distances.
All right. Clayton, hey, thanks for coming in today, buddy. You stay well. I know you survived all of the Capitol stuff because you're a downtowner.
I live two blocks from the Capitol. It has been crazy town. I tell you, circling helicopters have become the soundtrack of the last few months those of us who live downtown.
All right, folks, we'll be back next week. Got a great show for you. Mark, final word.
Dance like nobody's watching, folks, and when your turn comes to get the shot, get it.